Welcome to the Best of the Sports Shop podcast with Reese and K-Mac.
Well, you know, we spent, I guess, yesterday. Well, did we even talk about Lincoln Riley yesterday?
No, not
a really. Little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Just a little.
Not really. And everybody.
I like him.
Yeah, I think it was a boss move. I think I heard $110 million. I heard that they paid $500,000 over the asking price for his house. He has assets. He have access to a private jet anytime he wanted. He has. I think the house they bought for him, right around $6.2 million. Yeah, you know, in LA. So I mean, when you look at that, and you look at,
you'd be like, I'm out.
I mean, if when you look at that kind of those kind of numbers being thrown at you, yeah. And plus, like, the thing is, though, the fact of the matter, he's going to Southern California. Can't be too bad.
Not a bad gig.
Not a bad gig at all.
Not a bad gig. And how old is he? Like how old is he?
No, he's
38.
He's young, 30 something, right?
He's only 38 years old.
38,
man.
Casey and I checked before the show today.
young dude.
The ends are meeting, like, for real. I'm like, but I think. Seriously, I think this is so good for college football. USC is a program that needs to be relevant. It's been relevant for back in we can ever remember in terms of college football, and as of late they haven't been. So I think it's good for, It's good for the college football.
It is actually. Mm-hmm. It's really good. But now here's a question. Mm-hmm. So, what is the real expectations for him going to that program? So what are the actual expectations? Like, do we say he should do exactly what he did before, or do we expect for him to be in the conversation 2 or 3 years in this top four college football playoff?
Well, he's done that.
Right.
So, I mean.
But at USC, though.
Yeah, but you say we expect him to. Yeah, we want him to be in the playoffs. And the thing is, though, if you can win the Pac, what is it, 10, the Pac-12, whatever. I can't remember. I can't keep up. But but if you win that league, that conference,
yeah,
you're going to probably be up in there. Oregon was up in there for a minute.
Yeah.
Think about that. And
so you can buy your way in.
Oh, yeah. You can buy your way in all day long.
You can buy your way in.
But you know.
Almost anywhere.
Yeah, they put a lot of pressure from an AD perspective, Mike Bond, to hire I call it a five-star hire, because this guy is like,
yeah.
This was a big-time hire.
Yeah, this is different.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear Mike Bond talking about that. I think it's Mike Bond, but maybe not. Well, we'll find out about that.
It was really a special feeling, yeah, okay. And you know why? I don't mean to be emotional, but it was so special because we felt immense pressure to deliver for our former players, our alumni, our institution, the community, the conference, and in many ways for college football on the national scene, that we really wanted to be all in on our commitment to competing for a national championship, and that's saying a lot right there. And so we really felt immense pressure to try and pull it off.
Wow. They pulled it off, dude. I can tell you that. I can tell you that.
I mean that's a major hire, because I mean, he was top. It wasn't like the program Oklahoma still. I mean, they got an outside chance, but they still could be in the play. No, I mean outside. Brian right. Kelly definitely. Notre Dame could get up in there. A couple of things fall. We're gonna talk about it in a second. But Lincoln Riley was very emotional. Had an emotional goodbye to Oklahoma, and let's hear how that went down.
I think it would not be fitting for me to recognize the University of Oklahoma, the impact that it had on me, the people there. This was obviously, I told the team earlier, toughest decision of my life to come here. And it's those people there were tremendous to me. And
you know what? Y'all don't think it was tough?
Yeah,
you know what? You know what?
I tell you.
Y'all don't sound like you believe that.
I'm grateful for them. I'm There's grateful no for my time here. That's one of the no best way. College football programs in the country, and has been forever, and will continue to be. So very thankful for my time here.
Let me have about he rolled over to Wells Fargo and tell you I want to get battles on my account.
Right, look here.
He ain't gonna be mad at nobody.
Anytime you take a new job, you get assigned a personal wealth advisor.
Wow.
Yeah. Life's a little different. You know what I mean? So, life's a little different.
Yeah. So, hard to leave. So it's so hard to say goodbye.
I know. That's one shoe that dropped. The other people was waiting. Okay, what's going on, LSU? LSU been out there for a while looking for a coach. Then all of a sudden they found one in Brian Kelly of Notre Dame. Now, here's the story. Inside scoop. Reese Teague got inside scoop. D.L. Reese. So B. Kelly, they called him BK, he talked to the AD prior to all this going on and say, hey, you know what? I just want to upgrade my facilities for the players. I want to get a lounge like Alabama has and Clemson have, Waterfall, Barbershop, all that.
We did it again.
I just want to do what's best for my players. Because, you know, I may have an opportunity to go somewhere else where I can get that done. Mm. And the AD told him to kick rocks. Pretty much. No, serious.
What?
Wow.
Yep.
Bye, Felicia.
Yep. So the thing is the AD probably said, hey, man, you know, we're going to make that happen, Brian Kelly probably still be.
Yeah. I mean, he was in the seat, man. He was in the seat. He was feeling pretty good about it. He was in the seat. Mm. I mean, because whenever you're in a position where it doesn't matter what you do, but I want to look. I ain't coming home till next week.
Oh, okay.
And you good?
Oh, I'll go out to the movie. I'll be back in a couple of days.
I'll be back in a couple of days.
Well, you be careful.
It. You know what I mean?
Well, you be careful.
Try that.
So when you in that seat, it takes something, something drastic to make you leave.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. And it sounds like the only thing that made him leave was someone said no.
Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, he texts all his players. Basically saying that
a text.
I'm out.
Yeah, basically saying.
What's wrong with a text?
Basically saying I'm sorry, y'all. You had to hear about it on the Sports Shop or in other media.
I'm sorry, Reese got to you first.
So, K. Mac said, "What's wrong with a text? I mean, it should have been a face to face."
So like, he apologized.
That was a face to face goodbye.
He apologized. You see that out on our messages. That's like he apologized over it because he wasn't able to do it in person. He's going to probably get with everybody, you know, face to face when he gets back there. But I really don't. If that's true, which I know is true, I go to AD and said, man, I just want you to upgrade. I'm not asking for more money. I'm talking about me personally. I want you to upgrade the facility so we can recruit better. If we can keep these kids here with the portals going on. It's kind of hard to get the kids down, man. I'm just saying.
Can't do it. We already paid you. Can't do it.
But here's Brian Kelly. He was asking the presser if he leave Notre Dame, and this is what he had to say. Like, this is prior to him leaving Notre Dame.
Other than retiring from your current profession, could you see yourself leaving Notre Dame of your own volition?
No. I mean, look, I think Mike Tomlin had the best line, right? You know, unless that fairy godmother comes by with that, you know, $250 million check, my wife would want to take a look at it first. I'd have to run it by her.
Tell him to bring me my money.
Exactly. It's not 250. Hey, no, right there, he was negotiating. It's not 250, but
he knew what he was doing right there.
I heard it's somewhere around a 125 million.
Let me tell you something.
What the world is going on?
Let me tell you. What even the AD said, hey, man, let me holler.
No. You know who, like, got up in the middle of the night and was like, what's good? Miss Terry. You know who Miss Terry is?
Who's I know exactly who Miss Terry is.
Pam, you know who Miss Terry is?
Mm-hmm. The University of Alabama.
You don't know Miss Terry is Nick Saban's wife. She's like, what the hell's going on?
She the boss now.
She's like, if they making that much, how much we making?
She already made the call. she already made the phone. Look, she already made the phone call.
She thought she did.
Lincoln Riley?
Brian Kelly, you be here by 80.
Lincoln Riley?
Last time you played him in the BCS, you beat him by 80 points. And he made 120, he make 125 million. And he ain't won jack.
Let me tell you something.
Like, you think that was the pillow talk?
I know.
Conversation.
Oh, you know, Miss Terry, like, what's up?
Let me tell you something. What's up? That morning coffee was something else. So.
What in the world?
Yeah. So Nick. Yeah, Terry. Who is Lincoln Riley? Lincoln Riley, and as he go, as he go to explain.
Yeah.
She goes, Lincoln Riley? Lincoln Riley?
Matter of fact.
Wake Forest?
He leaves to go up to the store. She calls him. He put the phone up. Lincoln Riley?
Lincoln Riley?
I'm talking about the ends of me, man.
Let me tell you. Look, there's nothing you can say when you're sitting around. Like, even if I don't even know if Nick Saban has. I don't think he has a brother, but.
No, I don't think so.
Could you imagine, though? I'm sitting around. We going to hang out. I'm like, hey, bro. So, this Brian Kelly guy. You know him? He's like, yeah. He said, what? What we gonna do? Look, that read. Then it turns into what we gonna do.
What we gonna do?
What we gonna do about this?
So,
that's a lot of money.
I know. So now that opens up a job, a big time job. University. I mean Notre Dame. That's a big time job. They got their own network. I mean that's a big time deal.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yes. Oh yeah.
The man just walked off.
No. Okay.
Walked off. Yeah. Didn't even blink. Walked off.
No. He wanted to upgrade facilities, and the guy was like, no.
He was successful.
Oh, yeah, he's very successful.
Winning.
Yep. Graduated his kids.
You know, everything you ask for as a coach, right, when it comes to the position.
But the thing is, though.
He walked off.
It's a big-time job. They play on TV. They all got their
big-time
own.
Big-time job for who?
For
up-and-coming coach?
No, for the coach of Cincinnati, who's going to probably be the next coach.
All right, I'll give you that. For him.
For him.
For him, it's big.
Why would you want to go to Notre Dame? His team beat Notre Dame.
I know, but his team's not Notre Dame.
And his team really ain't going to ever beat Notre Dame.
So let me ask you a question. And I hate to say this.
Ever.
I hate to say this. Wofford coach, whoever he was at the time, basketball coach, beat Carolina. Lord. You don't think he wanted to be the coach at Carolina? Probably so, if he had an opportunity. I'm just saying.
Well, I'm sorry. Was Wofford in a Final Four? Cincinnati's about to be.
Right.
Yeah, Cincinnati about to get the brakes beat off of them.
Hey,
just like Notre Dame did.
Hey, stop!
That's a good point.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Hey, Dennis, stop throwing rocks at my example, man. I mean, let me get my damn example. You over there behind the damn glass trying to throw shade.
Oh, by the way, throwing rocks at my example.
By the way, hold on.
I'm just trying to figure out if that's what y'all want Nick to go there.
Man, what?
Hey, hold on.
I'm just saying,
that's a four-letter word when you say something like, don't be cussing at us like that. What?
Now, I don't know what kind of deprivation chamber you in.
I know. Hey, Pam, it's too early in the morning to be drinking. Put the glass down.
Yeah, because you're talking about the weed.
Well, you know I'm still on medication.
Yeah, apparently so.
You on the good stuff.
Apparently so. Apparently
you
so.
On the good stuff.
Apparently so. But anyway, we're going to talk about this some more. But, yeah, I don't believe Brian Kelly going to LSU.
Lincoln Riley?
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
I got a bone to pick with you two about Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, but not with me.
No,
Next guest, we can talk to her about it.
The good Christian.
Yeah,
that's Reese's the good Christian.
We get a chance.
He wasn't still a good Christian. He just can't stay healthy.
We have the editor, the chief creative officer, and the scoop extraordinaire.
Yeah, definitely scoop extraordinaire.
Yes.
The one and only Ms. Vashti Hurd. How you doing, Vashti?
Morning, guys.
Morning.
Hey, you back?
Good morning, Vashti.
I'm back. I'm trying to recover from a busy weekend, but I'm back.
Would you go to Vegas or you went to Hawaii?
No, she's in Vegas.
She was in Vegas or Hawaii?
Yeah, she's in Vegas.
Okay. I went to Vegas and Miami. You know, I was Vegas and took that red eye to Miami. Then, you know.
Do it. You know, do it.
They tried to keep up.
Wait a minute.
Do it now.
I don't want to know.
Do it now.
I ain't mad at you.
Do it
you
now.
Don't want to know what, Reese?
Don't worry now. About it. Do it I want to know.
Love it.
Do it now.
I'm on that Lincoln Riley plan, don't they?
Ooh.
Apparently so. Wheels up. Wheels up, whatever you want them to be.
Hey, look. Look, I'm going to be sitting over there pretty soon like, Vashti!
Vashti!
That's who got it.
I know.
Vashti got the plug. That's what's right. up.
You better believe it.
I'm not
That's
mad.
Awesome.
The editor in chief of Carolina Blitz. So what you got for us, Vashti?
All right. So let's start with the college coaching news. You guys have been talking about it. Changes at USC, LSU. Some reports that I've seen are that coaches like Brian Kelly specifically ghosted everyone at Notre Dame. According to Matt Fortuna, an assistant coach was leaving the home of a recruit when news broke, and he found out on his phone that Kelly would be leaving. Jay Billis, he made an interesting point saying that coaches complain about players opting out of bowl games, and two coaches agreed to new jobs while their teams are competing for a spot in the playoff, in the college playoff football, or college football playoff, sorry. This can't be good for the industry. How can college presidents condone such interference with college, with coaches under contract? And he was questioning the integrity of these moves during the season. So I ask you guys, game on or game over, to coaches leaving their teams before the season is over?
Well, define season is over. I mean, it's not a guarantee that Notre Dame is going to make the playoffs, right?
But they are still competing. Both teams are still technically competing for a spot in the college football playoff. And even if you're in a highly recognizable bowl game, I mean, you still have a team that you should be responsible or be held accountable to.
It's kind of hard.
So I used to be on the train that is completely unfair. Shouldn't let them do it, all of that. But now, since we got the portal, and now players can just walk off into the sunset.
Anytime they want to.
Right.
Now, it's I consider the playing field to be level. Yeah. Go on, man. You want to? You got your new gig, Lincoln? Do your thing, man.
I mean, let's not forget that when you up in the $100+ million.
It don't matter what the hell you say.
I'm accountable to my family.
Yeah.
I can imagine it. Bad side. Look, hon. So here's the deal. I'm going to stay here for a little while, you know, but hey, maybe the deal come back around. Man, if you don't get your...
No. I got
you taking this deal.
I'm not saying... I get what you guys are saying. You can agree in principle to the job, but you don't have to release the news.
They put that pressure on them.
Yeah,
no,
don't
I mean,
do that.
No, USC is like, hey, you got to accept this job right now, or you know,
right.
The train's leaving the station. They had to lock it down.
They can start recruiting for the next job.
Right.
If you're paying somebody $100 million, your train is at that station and it's not going anywhere. Like, at that point, the coach to me has the leverage.
That's not fair, though, Vashti. That's not fair to the players.
It's what about the players?
If you accepted a job and you're going to keep it under wraps,
yeah,
right, and I'm thinking you're still going to be here. Hell, I could have got in the portal.
And keep in mind, Vashti, in 2 weeks, the recruiting season opens up again. So
you got to
make some decisions. You got to have a coach in place. USC, like, I got to have you in place so we can get some kids in here during our recruiting.
They could announce it right before the recruiting season opens.
No, that's not
fair. The actual regular season would have been over.
That's not fair to the players.
I
don't think that's fair. Conference
championship games. Yeah, I don't think that's fair.
That's not fair to the players. That's not fair to the players, though. So now you're gonna announce. You knew you were leaving all along.
Yeah,
and I
for 2 weeks.
Okay, but for 2 weeks that makes a big difference.
Right. And that's what people would say. You knew you were leaving.
That's kind of disingenuous if you do it that way too. Kind of sneaky. I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's sneaky already. You have assistant coaches who are finding out after they're leaving a recruit's house that the coach is leaving.
That's
sneaky.
Sneaky
selling already. Okay, Brian Kelly.
That's true.
You walk out the house and the dude is gone.
That's true.
So it's already sneaky. There should be some type of loyalty to your players. Even players, like, they can announce they're transferring, but they don't leave. They don't go and play on another football team the next week.
That's true.
They do it the next season.
Yeah.
These coaches are like, all right, I'm out, and now I'm all LSU, I'm all USC, and I'm recruiting from the other team the next week. The playing field is not equal.
Yeah, now that point, because 2 weeks ago, you telling me I got to commit.
I got to put
more effort in. And look, now I'm looking on TV and you talking about how wonderful it is to be. You're like, wait.
It's not right.
When did that happen?
I mean, at least wait until the season is over with. Agree in principle, stop leaking the information to the media. And as soon as the regular season is over with, say, okay, well, I'm dipping.
Watch this, Rich.
But I feel like you at least owe that to the players who you have sold this whole idea of family, football, all this other mess that they push on these young kids, that you at least owe that to them.
So I'll ask this question, you know, Vashti and Pam. So with this scenario, when is it too soon to start dating?
You can't break up and start. I mean, you at least got to give it a couple weeks. But you know what? Men and women are different.
She said, men will give it a couple weeks.
Men will move on tomorrow.
We'll pull Lincoln Riley and Brian Kelly in a minute.
Men will break up, then the next day they're in the club. about the breakup.
Well, my dad, my dad may rest in peace. He said, to get over one, you got to get another one. See? Come on, somebody.
And that's exactly what men do. The next
that's
day,
what they do.
That night,
isn't that right,
Pam? When they leave their house.
Now, you did
they
this.
They texted
now already. You
they
over,
do that on the way.
This is K-Mac. This is you. You over this whole ball right here.
Now, we as women, what we'll do is we'll sit back, we'll evaluate the situation, lick our wounds, then we'll go out and get something better.
We will level up.
Men never get it.
Said, men
never
we'll level up.
Because we already had our eye on it, but we were loyal.
Y'all don't level up. Every time all my exes. All they new girlfriends was ugly.
Tell them. That's right.
Hey, I
leveled
up.
Hey, wait a minute. Hold on.
I leveled up, Bash Time.
That's from your perspective.
That's from everybody's perspective. And when your friends are hitting me up like, yo, what's wrong with my boy? Then you know.
Okay, like, move on. Let's move on, Bash Time.
We know you leveled up. You put on that costume to show us that you leveled up.
I'm just letting y'all know. All right.
Okay, I won't ask that again.
Don't ask that again.
Wow.
Okay. You opened that up. I was being good today.
I know, K-Mac.
Woo. Boy, okay then. Yeah.
The Panthers lost a tough one to the Dolphins on Sunday. We talked to Matt Rhule yesterday. When asked on our conference call if there will be any staff changes or reassignments during the bye week, Rhule said, the focus this week will be quality control and reflection. He added that he's not planning on making changes, but isn't taking anything off the table. So I ask you guys, game on or game over, that Rhule should fire someone during the bye week.
Yeah, okay, hold on. Yeah. I know you're going to... Yeah, he should fire someone. His damn self.
Hey, everything. It starts with me.
Starts at the top. I'm going to fire my damn self. I ain't coming back to next week. That's what should be fired.
Control.
Yes.
Talking about quality control, yeah. Look in the damn mirror. Fire that guy. How about that?
Wow.
And remember,
well, y'all know
Reese,
he's not
going to
fire
he doesn't even
himself.
Like him.
But you know, Vestad, seriously, Joe Brady, his stock's going down. I mean, he's supposed to be the guy that's gonna maybe go to LSU. He's gonna have a coaching job. He's the new smart guy, the new smart white guy. Because that's what they do. But his stock is going down big time.
That is so funny because it's
Brady
true.
Funny in the light. And I've said this. Joe Brady's resume never supported the job that he got.
You said
it
that.
Never supported
yep.
the job.
You said
that.
You said
that.
So
if we're talking about it, like, I mean, he wasn't even. He was a passing coordinator at LSU
yep.
for 1 year.
Was yep. he even the offensive coordinator?
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't even the offensive
right.
coordinator.
Right.
So Chief let's stop with the whole, oh, he's the next big thing. No, he's looking real funny in the light. I feel like at least yeah. Matt, there has to be a sacrificial lamb. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
To send a message.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know whether it's your special teams coordinator because special teams has been up and down this year. I don't know if it's your offensive line position coach. Somebody gotta go because I gotta let y'all know, like, this is what we're putting on the field is unacceptable. And right. yeah, it starts at the top with me, but I'm not going anywhere. But one of y'all gotta go.
So in this scenario that we have all painted, and we've seen this coming, and I've said it all along, I just don't feel like Matt Rhule is the right guy to lead that team. Or lead any team, quite honestly.
I think he's a college coach. That's what I think, at best. That's what I think. Yeah.
Let's be clear. Mm-hmm. At best, Baylor is probably that's the pinnacle,
right?
Pedestal or whatever the hell he wants to be.
Ask him. Yeah.
Yeah. One of them. that's it for Matt Rhule. At the end of the day, this team has regressed. It's going backwards, injury or not, injury aside. But I'm sorry, you can't say that you didn't know Chris McCaffrey was going to get injured.
Yeah, because every year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can't say that your two-minute offense and late-game offense and all this stuff was, at best, pedestrian because Teddy Bridgewater told you that.
Well, Cam didn't know it. That's why he came out of the game.
Which I'm surprised because, hell, you could have learned it on the back of a napkin.
It's not that difficult. Drop back and throw who's open.
Right.
How hard is that?
That's how simple he is. That's where they are right now. So then the all-in eggs on defense,
which
model
thought,
that you went with.
Yeah, but we thought, I mean.
Started out great. Which, Fashion, I mean, you could correct me. They've only lost, what, one defensive starter? Or maybe is it two?
J.C. Horn.
That's it.
J.C.
Right.
Horn.
Okay.
But then they brought in Stephon Gilmore. Yeah. So, but he's on a snap count, so he's not really full strength yet.
Dang. Okay, there it is.
But damn, Pastor, he ain't been there for like 2 months.
Well, you know he was on injured reserve. That's right. Yeah. He was on a half a season injured reserve, and now he's just. He's on
the
snap count. Yeah.
So, Vashti, with this understanding, because I know you in that media room every week, every day. What's the real sentiment? Because everybody, you can blame a whole lot of people, and everybody knows it's not really Cam's fault. So let's move on past that. Everybody knows it's not Christian's fault because he is exactly who he's always been for the last 3 years. So there's nothing new there. So what's the real sentiment? Is everybody just going to give Matt Rhule a pass?
No, fans aren't giving Matt Rhule a pass.
You sure?
I'm absolutely positive. Right. Fans are not giving Matt Rhule a pass.
I don't know, Reese. I ain't seen nobody.
He has been trending for the last few weeks. There have been campaigns, hashtag Rhule out.
Oh, okay.
So fans have not been giving him a pass. I think with the contract that David Tepper gave him, mm-hmm. he at least is going to get 3 full years to turn the program or turn the franchise around. And I think that's fair.
That's fair.
I think that's mm-hmm. fair. So, you know.
But he's going to have to fire somebody.
There's somebody else.
Somebody got to go.
Really.
I mean, and that's just what it is. I don't. You know, a message has to be sent. I don't know if they're. I don't know what this quality control and reflection. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. That's just saying something because you got to say something.
Reading too many books.
anyway.
All right, Vashti. All right. What else you got? One more.
The Blue Devils.
Oh yes.
Now the number one
yes.
team
oh,
in the
yes.
country.
Yes.
What?
After defeating Gonzaga this past Friday, they garnered 51 of 61 first place votes from AP voters this week. Purdue is number 2, Gonzaga is now number 3, Baylor 4, UCLA 5, Villanova, Texas, Kansas, Kentucky, and then Arkansas. So my question to you guys, game on or game over that this 2021 team is better than the Blue Devils 2018 team led by Zion Williamson?
Oh, hands down. 100%. Not
yeah,
even close.
Game on.
not even close. Matter of fact, I said this yesterday, Vesta, I think – this is probably his best team he's had probably mm-hmm. in the last 10 years. And I think he has one player on his team is probably one of his best players he probably ever played at Duke. And Jason Tatum was close, but this guy here.
You like Paolo that much?
Yeah, he's special. Yeah, he's special. I mean, he's different. He's just different. He's special. And this is a Carolina guy talking. He is special.
He definitely has a man crush on this.
I do. And the thing is... I'll be shocked if they don't win the whole damn thing this year. I'll be shocked.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So Vashti is definitely game on. They're definitely better. I think mm-hmm. I did say it yesterday. Mm-hmm. But not for the reason you think. This team is equally as talented, but this team yes. plays together better and has more heart.
Yeah.
I'm just going to tell
they
you.
They got more dog in them. This
way
team, I think.
More.
I think so.
Way more. This team actually wants to dominate you on the other side of the ball.
Yeah.
That other team, they thought they should dominate you because somebody told them they were great.
Mm-hmm.
And every now and then they would look up and dominate you. Right?
I mean, R.J. Barrett was a ball.
Don't give me that R.J. Barrett foolishness. R.J. Barrett was a ball hog who didn't want the pressure.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Entitlement.
Yeah.
Don't start with me. You don't start. Don't. And then Chicken Nugget Kid, what's his name? What's his name? You know who I'm talking about. Don't act like you don't know who I'm talking
Cam
about.
Reddish.
Cam Reddish.
That's my guy. I still like Cam, though.
Yeah. Mr. Chicken Nugget himself.
Chicken Nugget.
That's a long backstory to that, but, you know, he know what I'm talking about. Him, too.
No, they're special this year, Vashti. They're special. So.
Yeah, they want that. They got that dog. So.
I'm going to say game on, and I'm going to say game on because this team – and they do have dog, but I think that 2018 team had dog. This team plays better defense. This team plays better defense.
Okay.
Mark Williams is such a game changer in the center, like at that position. And then you have Paolo and mm-hmm. Wendell Moore, mm-hmm. who's
playing
on.
Lights out. Yes,
like. These guys play defense, and they don't get discouraged. I think the 2018 team sometimes got discouraged. But in watching the Gonzaga game, Trevor Keels and Jeremy Roach did not have good games. But down the stretch, when they needed to eke out a win, they had good plays down the stretch. And I think that that's probably the difference between that 2018 team and 2021 team. And maybe that is heart. Yeah. Now that I'm thinking about it,
right.
maybe that is a little more heart.
Real quick, Vestak, because you was there in that environment. What was that environment like? Was it like a NC2A tournament environment with those two teams playing? Yeah.
Absolutely.
It looked that way. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And for it to be Vegas, it's like, it's not even, you know, I expect that type of environment in North Carolina. This is the hoop state.
Mm-hmm.
But Vegas was lit.
Mm.
Vegas was lit. It was definitely a Final Four type environment with those two caliber teams playing against each other at the level that they were playing. Now, if it was a blowout, but it was a high level basketball game, and so it was definitely.
So let's run that back.
A March environment.
So let's run that back in New Orleans, then, y'all.
Yeah, pretty much.
Let's run it back.
Let's do it.
All right, we'll see. All right, Vestak. We'll take your word for it.
All right, guys. Nice talking to you. Are you guys gonna be at Michigan UNC?
Probably.
Where's gang gonna be?
Chapel Hill.
No, I ain't going over there.
Hey, Vestak.
Come on, K-Mac.
Vestak, you gonna be there?
Hell no.
I'll be there.
Okay, we'll see.
Earl, let's go.
Let's go.
Y'all go ahead on. I ain't going over there.
All right, Vest.
All right, guys.
Have a good one.
Yep.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac. The undefeated spotlight. Now, it's time for an inside look at the latest news and commentary from the undefeated, ESPN's premier website on race, culture, and sports. This is the undefeated spotlight with senior editor John X. Miller.
Mr. John X. Miller.
John, how you doing, my friend?
Good morning, John.
Good morning. How is everybody this morning?
Man, good. I got a chance to see the Cowboys, and that was wonderful. And now,
Then
it was a great game last night. Great game.
Yeah, it was a good game last night. Yeah, man. You know, I was, every time you turn on the tube now to watch some football, man. You know, this is the time of year where, you know, the rubber meets the road, they used to say.
Absolutely.
So if you're gonna
if
you're gonna be playoff contention, if you're gonna want to play in a bowl game, or you're gonna want to be able to get to the NFL playoffs, you got to bring it. Mm. And so last night was a good example of that, man. So I remember the days when Monday Night Football, people were like, oh man, look who playing.
Yeah, that's true.
I remember the days. Maybe 15-20 years ago, Monday Night Football was like the doldrums, man.
Right,
it's,
yeah.
It's changed now.
It really has.
It is must-see TV, as they say.
Must see TV. And I'm happy for the Washington team, too. Right?
Yeah.
Because they were playing like a team, man. They were playing like a team.
Actually, they didn't give up.
You
know what? That's a good point. They actually looked like a team last night, finally.
They did.
See, you know what?
Even without Chase,
right.
You know, everybody brought their game.
That's true.
They played together.
And that's what football is about, man. Playing when you get to that level, playing as a team and everybody, you know, handling their assignment.
That's what I'm talking about.
And so it was a good game. You know, it's kind of a downer for the Seattle. But Seattle just needs to retool, man. They just need to get some more athletes in key positions. Mm. And give Russell Wilson, particularly on that old line, man. He was running all night.
Yeah, he was
dodging defenders all night, man. So the offensive line needs some help. But Russell still got it. I think if he had time, and some back in the backfield, that Seattle could make some noise. But just like any franchise, man, it's an ups and downs.
Yep.
And so they just need to do some retooling, yeah.
All right, what you got for us on the site this week, John?
Lee Elder, man. Lee Elder was a minute for us to recognize that. You know, here's somebody who he was the Jackie Robinson of golf, and probably endured as much or more than Jackie Robinson, right? Because in the confines of golf, right? You know, the spectators are a lot closer, right? And you can hear a lot more things than you can if you're in a baseball diamond, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so Lee Elder, you know, this piece written by Pharrell Evans, who's covered golf for many years, really did a good piece of putting Elder's career and life in perspective. You know, he said what Abraham Lincoln did for the Civil War and King did for civil rights, Elder did for the game of golf, which was, you know, the bastion of whiteness, you know?
Mm-hmm.
even more so than baseball. And so the fact that, you know, he was able to, you know, particularly last April, to be one of the starters at the Masters was historical in itself. But that was just the end of a long line of firsts for Elder. And so he never wrote an autobiography, but there's been a lot written about him. And so if people don't know about Lee Elder and the kinds of slings and arrows that he had to endure coming up on the PGA Tour and being the first to the Masters, then they ought to do some research. And not Wikipedia either. Right? I'm talking about reading, Pharrell Evans, for instance. You know, he covered golf for many years and writes about golf for us. Just reading the piece about Elder will give people some insight into the kind of man he was and the kind of times that he played in.
Wow. We talked to John S. Miller, the Undefeated Spotlight, senior editor of the Undefeated, and always rock with him, same time, same place, right here on the Sports Shop. It's interesting, John, you guys got a great piece with Dak Prescott and focus on mental health awareness, and I'm looking at the ACC and the Big Ten and other coaches, Coach K and all, they're running ads now focused on having this mental health initiative, awareness initiative. And so talk about what Dak Prescott's piece is all about. It looks like it's a really good piece out there.
Well, there's two pieces to it. The first is a special, ESPN special.
Okay.
That it dropped yesterday. Mm-hmm. And the special is about, you know, Dak's commitment to mental health and helping young men and women deal with mental health. One of the reasons is because, you know, he had his younger brother, Chase, mm-hmm. you know, committed suicide. But essentially, the piece that is on ESPN Plus now is called Long Live Seven. Seven was the nickname of a young brother named Bryce Gowdy who committed suicide. Mm. He was homeless, but he had gotten a four-star. He was homeless. He was a four-star receiver out of Florida, and he had gotten a ride. He had gotten a scholarship to Georgia Tech. But he was so depressed and felt so bad that he was leaving his family behind because they had no place to stay, right? They were homeless. Mm. But he was going on to a college career, and that really brought him down. And so Dak actually is narrating this Black History Always special about Bryce. Mm. And so not only do we hear his voice in this article, we hear his voice in narration of his piece because it means that much to him. And so, you know, somebody who makes, well, I think his contract was $160 million. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a star NFL quarterback, but he's not immune to mental health issues. And two of the things that he says in the piece that we wrote about him was, you know, talk to somebody, right? You know, his dad says he talks to him every day, right? And so you have to have somebody looking over your shoulder and helping you out. And the other thing is that everybody has issues, right? Don't try to cover them up. Just live with them and mm-hmm. find somebody who you can live with, who can handle those issues along with you. So mental health is now a tremendous focus, right? Because, you know, everybody is dealing with something nowadays coming in. Mm-hmm. You know what? We just heard this new variant for COVID, right? Yep, yep. So we're still under the cloud of COVID. You know, a lot of people have lost their jobs or transitioning in jobs. And so we all have some issues. And so what we do is we need help. And I think that's one of the things that Dak talks about is focusing on mental health and caring for others, because if you're not alive and well, you know, a career means nothing.
Outstanding. We're talking with John X. Miller from The Undefeated on The Undefeated Spotlight, the same as we do each and every week. And John, real quickly, new top division, Division One band poll is out.
yeah. Your favorite. Yeah. Your favorite conference.
His favorite.
Yeah. Here we go. Here we go.
I'm not, you know, necessarily upset at the polling or mm-hmm. some of the outcome, but I am interested in, you know, kind of how we got to where we are. It just seemed to be odd to me. It just seemed mm-hmm. to be odd when you talk about, you know, the top bands in HBCU football.
Well, you know, I think it's about consistency, right? I think it's about consistency, whether it's on the football field at halftime or whether it's during four quarters, right? And I think what you're finding, particularly, you know, in the Division II bands, is consistency.
Exactly.
You know, Alabama A&M made it in, But if you read, you know, if you read what the band director Carlton Wright had to say, he says, you know, it's great to know that you're doing the right things, right? And so part of it is making sure, not us, but making sure as a band leader and as a band culture at your school that you're teaching the students, right? And that you're being flexible and that you're focusing on things more than just, you know, showing up on the field on Saturday. And so I think that's the tip of the iceberg is what we see on Saturday afternoons at halftime. Mm. But I think the band cultures at our HBCU is really about teaching students about discipline, teaching students about how to play music, teaching students about what careers lie after, you know, playing on Saturday afternoon. What do they become once they graduate and become adults? Mm. So I think that's what we're finding about the hard work, the discipline, the accountability and professionalism, right? And that's consistency, right? And so that's one of the things that if you read the article about the bands, that's what the band directors are saying, right? Mm. It's a good thing to be adjudicated because they're learning and they're teaching their students how to be better academicians, musicians, and just being prepared for life after bands.
That's interesting you say that. Carlton Wright, I know him well. He's a member of the other fraternity, Perfect Gold. But other than that, he's a good guy. But no, but it's good. I'm glad
you stand up guy. Here.
I'm glad you guys got a chance to talk to him. He's really doing some good things down there. I'm glad that we're ranked higher than Jackson State.
Yeah,
game,
what the
I
hell?
Want you to know that. I'm looking at it right now. We are ranked higher than the Sunday Boom.
So here's John, I appreciate you. You know, explaining all that. Right. That's all well and good. But now let's bring it back to the shop here. So I know like hell you ain't trying to convince me that the Sonic Boom of the South, Jackson State University, D.I. Love, is below. And I say below. And I say it with all love in my heart. Bethune-Cookman? Really? I give A&T the nod. But Parentview? Come on, man.
Yeah, Prairie View.
Come on, bro.
Yeah,
Norfolk State.
Yeah,
come on, bro. And Alabama A&M, look, after the ass whoop we put on them on the field, they shouldn't be ranked against above us for nothing.
John, he's getting emotional.
I see.
He's emotional.
Let me just say a couple things.
Okay.
You know, take emotion out of it. Okay? Take emotion out of it. Look at, you know, tape don't lie. Right?
Tape don't lie.
Don't lie.
That's right.
Tape don't lie.
Come on, John.
So look at their performances on the field. Then you'll see, right?
There you go, John.
Man,
that's what I'm talking about, John, right there, man.
I'm like, love it. Too much turkey? What happened? I mean, come on, man. You killed me. And you had the nerve. You actually ranked Alabama A&M ahead of the I Love.
Right, as you should. Yeah.
We got the coach of the year.
We got the coach of the year. We're talking about the band.
Number one. Okay, that's right.
Football. That's football. The band. Right. Yeah. That's football.
We got the coach of the year.
Oh, we got the player of the year.
We got Swag Champion.
Yeah, we got a crap.
You can't have the player of the year. We beat them by 60.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But we got the player of the year. Offensive player of the year. We got him, sir.
Oh, my God.
No, Glass is going to be in the league.
Yeah.
Glass is going to be in the league.
I believe so, too. I think so, too.
You dropped us 4 spots, John. I mean, what in the world?
Well, you know, tape don't lie, man.
Tape don't lie. And we're going to leave it right there.
Tape don't lie. John, I'm going to get you out of this one. I'm going to get you out of this one with K-Mac. We are talking to John X. Miller with the Undefeated. John, before we go, I want to bring it back as we leave with the tribute to Lee Elder, the golf pioneer who recently died. And your article is amazing, and everyone should go read it about Lee Elder in the Undefeated. But it's so awesome. But there's a part in there that I just wanted to highlight where it says that Elder would never win a green jacket or any major championship, but to the game, which we know, you know, he experienced so much racism, he was its savior and its greatest champion. And I just wanted to highlight that and make sure that everyone goes and reads this article. It's amazing because he broke, you know, so many color barriers in this sport and beyond. Mm. So to find out the other things that he did, make sure you go read this in The Undefeated.
Wow.
One of the things I was thinking, and I'm going to just end with this. One of the things I was thinking is imagine how many times he got called names.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
He talked about
it. Imagine, yes, he did. Imagine the close proximity, right? Mm-hmm. Right? The close proximity of hearing people call names. And did he once fight? Did he once, you know, tell somebody to toss him out of the arena? Did he once, you know, do something that that embarrassed the game.
Right.
He did not, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's a character thing too, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's important for young people to understand that every time somebody calls your name, you ain't got to fight.
Right? There you go.
You got to understand the source of it. You got to understand the source of who's calling you the name, and then understand that you are not there for that. You're there for something else. And don't let them throw you off your game. And so much respect, not only for Elder, but for everybody who's had to endure all of that as pioneers and still, you know, commit their game to excellence.
That is.
And so, yes, all props to Lee Elder.
Sound like a plan.
Awesome.
All right, great John, as always, it's a pleasure having you on, my friend. Can't wait to talk to you. Maybe, you know, we'll get the poll right next week, I guess. I don't know. Maybe we'll do
a year-end poll.
How about that? We'll do a year-end poll.
Yeah, we are. Actually, on the on December the 14th is our final one of the year. So.
All right.
You'll have another chance.
All right. Sounds good. Talk to you later, John.
All right, folks. Have
Thank
a
you.
Good. Terrific Tuesday.
You too.
You've been listening to the Best of the Sports Shop podcast with Reese and K-Mac. Don't forget, you can download this podcast every weekday at WRALSportsFan.com, on our new WRAL Sports Fan app, and in the iTunes Store.